Hey friends, I'm Janina Ramirez, the Chief Growth Officer here at Focus Lab. And in today's Focus Fireside, I'm joined by Devin Richards, Managing Director at ODI. We're chatting about why organizations should and shouldn't invest in brand early on, Devin's perspective on his role at ODI, and important lessons he's learned working with brands for the last decade. Hope you enjoy. Hey, Devin. Welcome to Focus Fireside.
Hey, Janina. Nice to see you this morning.
I am particularly excited today because we're going to talk about ODI. For those who aren't aware, ODI is the newest member of our brand family, a sister agency to Focus Lab. Now, ODI is a B2B brand agency serving the needs of early stage startups, the goal being to build a strong foundation for growth right from the start. So today we have Devin, as I mentioned, managing director over at ODI, and we're going to start off pretty easily. Devin, what exactly does your role entail? Like, what does it mean to be a managing director at ODI?
Well, thanks, G. So as managing director of ODI, I think my primary goal is to lead ODI as an agency. But I think in application, I think my biggest role is kind of playing the liaison between brand designers and ODI's clients, kind of bridging the gap to help develop a positive relationship that infuses into our work, allows the designer to, again, create a relationship with our clients for them to produce the best work possible. So, yeah, I just kind of really play that middleman who is going to be in every single one of our project meetings. ODI is in its early stages as well. So I'm wearing a lot of hats. Part of that is being project manager, but also, again, part of that is leading the agency as a whole. I think kind of my primary role at the moment is being, again, that client liaison, kind of being, again, that middleman, bridging the gap between ODI's brand designers and our clients.
I love to hear that because I know at Focus Lab and at ODI, client experience is central to who we are, right? Sauce exists at both agencies. It's at the core of what we do. For people who aren't aware, SAS stands for Seeking to Achieve Unforgettable Customer Experiences. So that is very much at the core of who we are, central to all the projects. I know, Devin, that's something that you feel really passionate about because you talk to clients every project about SAS, making sure that we're actually achieving it and that they really feel like they had an exceptional experience. So I love to hear that still is really central to what you do in your new role. So you were originally a member of the Focus Lab team. Spoiler for those who don't know, Devin was a project manager at Focus Lab, and now you're leading the ODI team. How does that feel? How are you excited to make that change?
Man, it's been a wild ride. I think I've been in my role now 8 months, almost 9 months. It's funny. We talk a lot about like, how is ODI different than Focus Lab? It's pretty similar in a lot of ways. Our offerings are different. The way that we cater our work is different for ODI clients than Focus Lab. But we were really intentional when we were setting up ODI as an agency to take on the same core values that Focus Lab has, to take on the same structure and intention to culture. And the way that we work with, ODI's team members is the same exact way that Focus Lab interacts with our team members. And we have, a singular operations department that helps maintain those things. So yes, we are different in certain ways, but in other ways, we're very similar. And it's important because we wanted to infuse that Focus Lab DNA into everything that ODI does. We are a sibling to Focus Lab. And, as all siblings are, there are similarities and differences. But again, I think the main difference is just the types of clients that ODI works with are different than Focus Lab. And that was the intention. That was the whole point, creating an offering that is very particularly catered to early stage and pre-seed stage companies, where Focus Lab maybe has a little bit broader net to work with companies that have already received a certain round of funding or may have maybe more mature in their business journey than ODI's clients.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. At their core, they're the same, right? It's almost like the heart of both agencies is the same. And when talking about both, it's really important to highlight the fact that OD is not like a Focus Lab light, right? They are absolutely serving the same client at different points in the journey. And that's where that differing aspect comes in, because you need to make sure that we're providing a ton of value at each of those different points in the journey, right? And that's how we've catered OD, the OD offering, same thing with Focus Lab. So it's really about making sure that our clients have everything they need to get the most out of their brand based on where they're at. We're meeting them where they're at. And that's a really big part of it. And I think that's a really nice segue into having a conversation around brand strategy, because Focus Lab serves primarily growth stage companies. Brand strategy is kind of where we start in our process. It creates a strategic foundation for all of the work that we're producing. Whereas OD is a bit different. So OD clients are earlier on in their business. In some cases, they're completely new organizations, right? That have just started. They might have a founder, two founders. They might have been around for like a year or so. It depends, right? But we don't necessarily start with our traditional brand strategy offering, right? Because it doesn't necessarily make sense. Do you want to kind of dive into what we do at OD and how it differs?
Yes, absolutely. I think there's a key point here that I want to make sure we get across, is that even though OD doesn't do brand strategy in the normal or traditional sense that Focus Lab does, we're definitely not just making willy-nilly decisions in regards to our clients' brands. What we do is what we call brand evaluation, which is, from our perspective, getting our ducks in a row as we evaluate our clients' existing brand, the current way in which they're expressing themselves through a visual language or no visual language at all. A lot of times, early stage companies have some form of a brand that they just threw together to get going, to allow them to focus on their product. So they had something. And so really, our brand evaluation phase within our project is, as it sounds, we evaluate our current clients' brands. We get all of our ducks in a row from a design perspective. We start to look at their competitors. We start to understand their market. We start to elevate opportunities to differentiate our clients from a design and brand perspective. And then we push that a little bit further to move that into kind of three distinct mood boards that'll come across in that brand evaluation. We have our clients do a little bit of kickoff prep work for us so we get started. Again, this is all in the mindset of, how can we be organized? How can we be intentional about getting ourselves set up to achieve success in working with our clients? And again, it starts off with what we do is a brand attributes exercise, where we work with our clients to develop three words that really exemplify the business in their minds, and we associate those words to visuals. And those, again, come over in that brand evaluation, is so we can start talking design in a similar way. We have these common words that we can all understand, but maybe the visuals that we associate to them aren't aligned. And so part of the brand evaluation phase, again, is making sure that we have some type of footing, we have some type of direction or some type of plan that we can refer back to as we head into our visual identity realm. It's different than our traditional brand strategy for Focus Lab, but OD does do work to make sure that we're making intentional design decisions when we get there. I think also part of it is a lot of earlier stage and pre-seed stage companies just aren't ready for the breadth of what a traditional brand strategy phase would be for Focus Lab. A lot of OD's clients still need to be really flexible in their market, really flexible in their product offering. They need to be able to adapt on a week-to-week basis. They may not be at a stage within their company where they've had enough experience to really understand or put their foot in the sand to say, like, we know exactly the audience we're going after. We know exactly the type of market that we need to attack. OD's clients are really figuring that stuff out. So again, it's about doing our research, getting an understanding, putting our ducks in a row, allowing ourselves to get aligned with our clients and speaking a similar design language. And then that helps lead us to making better decisions once we get the visual identity.
I think that's great. You made some really great points there. To kind of expand on one of them, you know, we've talked about the importance of kickoff prep, on having all this information so we can make the most out of that time. Because it is a relatively short project, right? It's 6 weeks, but we want to make sure that every week is incredibly intentional, that the quality of work that they're getting in no way suffers by the fact that we are working just within a 6 week window. And a lot of those kind of points, the brand evaluation, everything you mentioned really allows us to get there. I'd love to hear you actually talk about, because I think one thing that really has been resonating with OD clients and helps us during this 6 week sprint is the SMIT, which also, I just love saying that. I think it's hilarious. It just makes me chuckle, but we got to talk about SMIT.
Yes. So SMIT, or the single most important thing to get right within an OD project.
There it is.
So Focus Lab goes through a pretty extensive brand strategy phase with their clients. There is also generally a brand comms or brand communications phase of that project as well, where they're working with a brand strategist or brand writer. And through those phases, you know, on the Focus Lab side of things, they'll elevate a single narrative or they'll elevate a singular concept that really drives the decisions as we move through the project. So when OD was thinking about, you know, our work and working with our clients, we wanted to do something similar because I think it's important for everybody to have a North Star or this goal that we're working towards with the brand work. And we try and do that again through the single most important thing, our SMIT. And what that is we, you know, as we go through some of the, you know, initial kickoff with our clients and we start to review all of the information and we start to put that brand evaluation together, the brand evaluation will contain the SMIT. And for us, it's really a way for us to create a narrative that we can all rally behind, that is emotionally driven, that really speaks to what our clients are doing, really speaks to the problems that they're trying to solve with what they're bringing to market. It gives us this North Star that we can refer back to. So we can continue to question or challenge ourselves as we start to deliver visual identity rounds. Like, is this meeting the SMIT that we all agreed upon? Are we moving forward in a way that's going to accomplish the goals that we defined in that SMIT? Are we really continuing to speak to that narrative or that singular concept that we want this whole project to kind of rally around? And what we found with OD's clients too is a lot of times, you know, early stage and pre-seed stage companies like haven't taken time to maybe really think about like, what is the singular statement that we're all trying to achieve? Like, what is a singular statement that we can continue to say and evangelize internally within the company that creates excitement about what we're trying to do and creates excitement about what we're trying to achieve as a company and as a team. And a lot of times that SMIT really kind of becomes, again, that for, you know, repeating myself, but becomes this rallying cry internally that people can get behind and have energy towards. And then it also creates this objective thing that we've all agreed upon that we can use as a litmus test against our work as we deliver it each week throughout the project.
I think what's really interesting about that entire concept is obviously for OD and for the process, it is what allows us to have such incredibly impactful work in a relatively short amount of time, right? Like our clients are walking away kind of shocked by what they're getting, like the level of quality and craft and care and intentionality, but that also has to do with this process, with this North Star, with identifying the SMIT. But I think the other interesting part about that is it's almost like the first introduction to brand is having someone learn to focus on one thing and then build around it and it be consistent and it be the North Star and it be kind of the unifying thread for companies, organizations, individuals who've never really understood what brand is. That's like the first introduction as to what the power of it can do. And they can see it by the end of a project, right? Like we got really focused. We were able to identify this together, right? This is something we do together with them. And then come the end of the project, they're able to see what that decision at the beginning of the project actually yielded, right? And I think that's so powerful because that's like the first test of being like, and welcome to brand.
Yes, absolutely. It becomes a lot of times with OD's clients is their first like aha moment in the process when they're like, wow, we couldn't have done that on our own. We like, how did you guys do this? Like we've been developing our product. We've been trying to go to market. We've been, you know, pitching investors and this like singular narrative hasn't come up with us internally. And thank you so much for doing that for us. Like, thank you so much for giving us this thing that we can use in an incredibly effective way that infuses itself into all of our decisions. Not only the decisions they're making with us from a brand perspective, but a lot of times, like how it infuses into their culture within the company. Again, it gives them this opportunity to align, have this ability to all align together around something. So that type of unity is important. And again, it is, to your point, the first aha moment a lot of times for our clients, where they're like, wow, okay, I'm in a brand project. I'm working with brand experts. I'm working with people that understand our market, that understand our clients. They've reviewed the information. They understand what we do. They understand the problem that we're trying to solve. And they've synthesized that down into a 3 to 6 word statement. Like, how the hell did you guys do that?
I think this is also the first time when people start to realize if they hadn't already or hadn't fully understood the difference between working with Odie as opposed to like hiring someone to make them a logo and give them a couple of colors, right? Like these are the additional intangibles that come out of this type of process, right? Like because we have such an intentional process, because you as managing director, I mean, you're in every single one of these projects right now, you are guiding as an expert every single one of our clients, and that level of expertise and craft and care and education yields these additional types of results. So it might not be listed on like your scope of work, but this is something else that's just going to come out of it as a result of the project. And I think that is, I love that you highlighted that. I think it's so important to know that there's just so many other ways that a project like this pays dividends in the long run, even if you're unsure, right? And I also think this is like a really, look at us, we're just dovetailing all over the place. It's a really nice dovetail. Like we've talked a good bit about, you know, the fact that at this point in their journey, Odie's clients, early stage B2B companies, they really need to be flexible. Every week counts, every dollar counts. Like we're incredibly empathetic to that. That's why we crafted this offering, right? But a lot of times people are still unsure. Right? They're so hesitant or they're so concerned about taking any moment to kind of pause and really ask these questions and do this exercise, right? Because they know like time is money, you know, other people are getting to market faster. Like, should we be quote unquote wasting time on this project? So I'd love to kind of dive into like, what are the advantages and disadvantages of investing in brand early on?
Let's start with disadvantages. I don't think there is any. No, I'm kidding. Of course, I'm a very bias. I think I have a biased opinion there. And I do want to start with disadvantages, though, because let's be real, right? When we were thinking about Odie and we were thinking about the way we're setting up Odie's process, again, it's not a Focus Lab light. It's a catered pick offering for early stage and pre-seed stage companies set up in a way that allows them to create a high quality brand in less time that's going to serve them in the most effective way possible. So, obviously the disadvantages there are, where does a founder have time to do a branding project, right? A lot of these early stage and pre-seed stage companies and these founders and co-founders, I mean, I talked a little bit myself wearing a few hats, but man, they are wearing a ton of hats. They are doing a ton of things. They might be their main accountant. They might be their main HR person. They might be their head of engineering. They might also be the co-founder of the company. And so obviously the disadvantages is carving out the time and setting yourself up to have the ability to do a brand project. One of the great things though, being able to, or having Odie kind of come out of Focus Lab and be a sibling to Focus Lab, is that we've learned a lot about how to structure a project in an effective way to take advantage of the time that we're spending together, right? So we know how to really take advantage of that 6 weeks that an OD project takes. And we're going to set the project up in a way and structure it in a way that really lays everything out for those co-founders or for those early stage companies to be able to have the time and be able to invest in something like brand. I think also one of the other disadvantages is that there is the cost associated to a brand investment. And every early stage company is thinking about that maybe much more than other companies are, and that makes total sense. And but I think what we would say is it's an absolutely worthwhile investment. I think before we were getting on, Jeannie and I made a joke about don't get the cold brew tap for your office as an early stage company before you invest in brand. Like, don't go buy ping pong tables, or don't go to conferences, or there's a lot of these other things that I think a lot of early stage or pre-seed stage companies get influenced by others to feel that they have to keep up with the Joneses, even within what they're trying to do. But investing in brand is going to be more important. It's going to reap better dividends at the end than all of those things combined. We're getting a little bit into the advantages. Obviously, the advantages are you're going to stand out against your competitors. It's going to allow you to differentiate in incredibly effective ways. Thinking about what we were just talking about with the Smith, there's going to be these other byproducts of the branding project that are going to come out that are going to influence your team in positive ways. You're just going to be at a better place at the end of a brand investment than you were beforehand. It's nearly impossible for you not to be. There's automatically an advantage in working with us right out of the gate. Maybe one of the hardest decisions as an early stage company is just making that decision that, like, I don't think our brand is serving us. I don't think it's going to serve us. We hear a lot from our clients, especially, in the B2B space, creating products. Engineering teams don't want to put all of this effort into developing this amazing product that the brand doesn't support or help get in front of people. So it's a 1-2 punch. You have to put a great product out into the market. You have to solve a problem for people that they need solved, but you have to do it in a way that creates brand recognition and brand buy-in. They have to associate themselves in some way with the brand and a high-quality brand because they supplement each other. It's a 1-2 punch. And I think companies that don't take the opportunity to invest in brand are going to suffer against other companies that did. So it's a strategic play.
Dan, one of the co-founders over at Tango, when he
Yes.
was talking to Bill, our CEO, and a big part of that conversation was the importance of being a brand first company as opposed to a product first company, especially in this moment where everyone is kind of rushing to get out new product to compete in features. Like, you'll notice that features are always the first thing to either get copied, to get built upon. Like, there's so much that's not necessarily ownable in that area, whereas your brand always is. And
Yes.
having that to build your business on is just a much stronger, more secure foundation so that as you grow, as features change, as products change, right? As all of those things kind of change going forward, that you have something else to really build and grow from and actually allow you to pivot, right? So I think that is, to speak to kind of all those points, that's just so important, right? This is the first exercise in kind of explaining how to be and changing your mindset on how to be a company that leads with their brand, right? As opposed to a company who leads with a feature set, which could change, you know? And if you build this foundation early on, you'll have the flexibility, the ability, and everything, and all of those tools to shift and change, right? That's why Oatie exists, for that eventuality. I have a different kind of question I want to ask, which is, Devin, what do you enjoy most about your role?
Oh man. I think the thing I enjoy the most, I know it might sound cheesy and cliche, but I actually really enjoy people. I really enjoy getting to know people. I really enjoy developing relationships with people. I think the thing that continues to resonate with me, I've been in this industry, as a project manager for a really long time, and I'm 10 years in, almost 11 years doing brand work and working with clients that are engaging in brand endeavors. And I think, again, it's the transformation I see in clients. It's the ability, and especially early stage and pre-seed stage companies, like maybe they went through like a 99 designs, or they hired their cousin who does like freelance design, or they saw, a random ad, and they just, essentially the point I'm trying to make there is they've just thrown their brand together, right? They have no idea the power of what a brand project can do for them. You know, again, leaning back to the Smith and other aspects that come out, you know, the expertise, the brand expertise that we continue to share. So again, I think for me, it's that transformation that I get to see in our clients and the relationships we get to build with them. Great design and good brand and high quality work is table stakes for us. Like we are, even at Oatie, we're derivative of Focus Lab. Like none of that expert experience and stuff just went away with Oatie. We brought all that stuff with us. So we're brand experts in what we do. We're incredibly knowledgeable in what we do. And so being able to share that expertise, help educate our clients for their brand growth as they continue on and move past our project. And again, just seeing that transformation in them. And then the relationship, like working with people doing difficult things, especially at a time when there could be high stress, and we can be that kind of shining moment maybe for them throughout the week, right? Clients can feel a break and come into the space where we're doing creative things and we're talking about fun stuff and we're challenging them on their brand and we're helping educate them and we're sharing our expertise and we're being the catalyst for this transformation that happens. So it's that like initial, never done this before. Thank you so much for working with us. We're so happy to be here. And it's like this transformation that happens over the course of the project. And again, this relationship we build, you know, we always talk about, you know, one of our previous our clients, Illuminus. And one of the things that really resonated with me that Noelle said was, you guys just don't want to do great design work. You like legitimately care about us as human beings. You care about our success. And I think you could subjugate that to like, well, good. I mean, of course, it's good business. You know, like if we do good design work and then you go on to do great things and it reflects back on us. But I think that's like a cop out. It's like, no, it comes from a truly genuine place that like, I don't want to see you fail as a human being. Like, I don't want to see you fail in something that you feel passionate about. And if there's an opportunity for us over a 6-week engagement to be able to impact that for our clients in any positive way, I mean, that's the stuff that gets me jacked up. When I see a client at 2 months or 3 months post-project, and maybe they hit us up, or I see on LinkedIn that they were able to raise a series of funding, or they were able to go to a conference, or they were listed as a top new 20 company in their market or whatever. Like that's the stuff that's awesome. You know, that's the stuff that like really matters, because we're seeing positive passion in those people's lives as human beings outside of just brain work. So it's the relationships, it's the transformation, it's the difference in who they are at the end of a brand project that I just am so excited about.
Yeah, I think it really is the best feeling. We have conversations all the time where we say, like, well, maybe our work isn't changing the world or impacting in some sort of incredibly positive way. But the way that we do that is through our clients. The work that we do allows our clients to change the world, to create positive impact, to really just honestly just make change. And I think that in and of itself is so exciting. Watching people do that, watching them continue to grow their companies, grow their teams, take what we have created together and be able to not just achieve their goals, but surpass them. It is honestly the best feeling in the world. And you're like, damn, that's why we all get out of bed in the morning, right? Like that is literally the stuff that is why we're here.
And I think again, you could be like, oh wow, you know, they raised money and like, man, I'll feel so great for those founders. But there's other people that work at those companies too, you know, and through great branding and through the ability for brand to help those companies grow, everybody within that organization is reaping the benefits of that, right? Like that trickles down into those employees' families. And it just provides so much for so many people that are involved. That is just what's really exciting. It's just this opportunity for our clients to grow, become better in what they do, solve their problems in a more effective way. And again, the relationships we build with them along the way.
I love that. So, to close us out, I have one question I ask everyone. Super important one. So, we've obviously talked a lot about the importance of branding, of rebrands. So, is there any advice you'd give to someone who is thinking about embarking on a project like this?
Yeah, I have a couple points of advice that I I feel like are really important to share. Set aside time for your brand project. Be intentional about the way that you schedule yourself to review the work from your from an agency or whoever you're working with. Hopefully it's Odie, but set aside time to be intentional. Like, honor the work that somebody is doing for you from a brand perspective and really evaluate it, because it really matters. We put a lot of passion and effort into the work that we do, and you're investing money and time into doing it. So, like, set yourself up for success, you know, set yourself up to have the time to evaluate that work, again, in a very intentional way. Set aside time to review that work with other co-founders or other really strong key team members within the organization. Like, just give yourself time to do this work. And I know, again, at an early stage and a pre-seed stage, that can be really difficult to do sometimes, but do it. Like, please do it. You're investing in this. And the more time and the more intentional that you are in evaluating the work, it's only going to benefit the project as a whole. It's only going to benefit your brand. The second piece of advice, strong advice I would give, is trust the people you've hired for your brand project. Again, leaning back to, we want to see our clients succeed, not just from like a business perspective, but from a people, human first perspective. And so the work that we present to you, our clients each week, trust that we're advocating for you in the most positive way every single time that we shift work. Trust that when we share expertise, that it's coming from a true, genuine place to help you succeed. I think one of the struggles that we see with a lot of clients is it's hard to do that. And it's hard because brand change is scary. You know, like, brand change is nerve-wracking. You know, maybe your current brand has given you the ability to have some level of a little bit of success. And there's this worry that changing those things could topple, you know, the whole house of cards. But just know that a good brand partner would never create brand solutions that are going to fail you, right? We're trying to create brand solutions that will help you succeed. So trust that every decision we make is within that desired outcome, that it's within that realm of seeing you all succeed. And then, you know, if you want to just subjugate it to business, it benefits us as an agency, right? If we do really great intentional brand work, that's going to help you all grow. That reflects back on us. So at the very minimum, it benefits us to be genuine about what we're suggesting. It benefits us, you know, selfishly, to be honest about the type of feedback and expertise that we're sharing. We would be shooting ourselves in the foot if we were just saying the things you wanted to hear because it allowed us to complete the project.
Right.
We just don't do that. Like, Odie doesn't do that. So trust us and trust the solutions that we're bringing to the table, because we're advocating for you in every single step of the way.
Devin, that was a beautiful note to end this on. It has been a
Thank
pleasure.
You. Yes, this is awesome. So this has been so much fun.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it. Thank you again. And
thank you.
I know we'll have you on again in the future.
Perfect. I love it. Love it. Thank you again, Janina.
To stay up to date on the latest from Odie, follow us on social media at Odie Agency and subscribe to our newsletter on our website, odiebrand.agency. Thank you for listening.